What if the food on your plate is doing far more than filling you up? Is it helping your body repair, or could it be quietly working against your healing? Today on Vital Voices, we're bringing you powerful insights from Dr. Paige Burrows on how to use food as medicine, why whole person health matters, and what it really means to eat to heal. Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're sitting down with Dr. Paige Burrows, lifestyle medicine educator and coach and founder of Wellspring Lifestyle Group, to discuss the topic eating to heal. In this conversation, Dr. Burrows explores the healing power of food, the role of inflammation, the difference between whole, processed, and ultra-processed foods, and how nutrition fits into a larger body-soul-spirit approach to health.
Vital Voices is a production of Tag Studios and is proudly brought to you each week by our sponsor, Wellspring Lifestyle Group, where you can find freedom and transformation through whole person health.
Vital Voices.
Welcome back to Vital Voices, Dr. Burrows.
And I'm so happy to be back on the show.
Awesome. One of our favorite recurring guests for a number of reasons. So, like I said, we are happy to have you back on the show. We are sneaking this episode in on towards the tail end of March, which is International Nutrition Month, so recognized around the world. So we felt it would be a good time to talk about, this concept of eating to heal. But can you just explain to us, what that verbiage, that phraseology even means, eating to heal?
What this conversation really is today is a how-to guide for using food as medicine. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So before we dive in, I want everyone to ask themselves a question. What does food mean to you? What does food mean to you? So perhaps food to you is celebratory for special occasions. That's when you really think about it. Or maybe it's cultural. Maybe it's nostalgic, you like your food to take you back to your childhood. Perhaps it's craving or mood-based, like when you're thinking, what do I need to eat today for stress relief? Or let's say you're a person with a really active and busy lifestyle. You see food as fuel for all of your activities. What if you're the type of person, perhaps you see food as a chore that should only really be viewed through a lens of convenience? And you might also be one of the other persons like myself, who see food as an avenue for creativity and self-expression, and maybe a little bit of some of these other things on certain days. But it's really important, whatever your perception is or your relationship with food is, to really try and get that in your mind as you reshift your gears and think about food as medicine and the concept of eating to heal. So as we strive towards longer health spans and better quality of life, our thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes surrounding food will indeed determine most of the actions surrounding what we choose to put in our mouth. And subsequently, what we choose to put in our mouth contribute to those very same thoughts, beliefs, and actions. So bear that in mind. What do you think about food? How do you feel about food? What does food mean to you?
See, I'm going to keep myself out of trouble. I'm not going to answer that question about, what does food mean to me? I think it's safer if I don't. But for someone who's listening to this and they've never really thought of food in this way, what do you mean when you say, your food can be medicine? Because, I think it's something that we've heard here and there over the course of our lifetime, especially more recently. There's been a whole global shift about, food as medicine as this concept. But what does it actually mean?
Okay, so food can absolutely be medicine, and God provided food as a part of creation. It's a source of nourishment and healing. And before the advent of pharmaceuticals, food was really medicine. Most people might be familiar with the Greek physician Hippocrates when he said, "Let thy medicine be thy food." And we could also name off a couple of scriptures that emphasize this idea of the leaves being for healing and the fruits and vegetables being our food, okay? So with a realistic game plan and repaired attitudes and beliefs surrounding food, with just a splash of creativity, Food can be everything that you need it to be and more. We can heal with it. We can celebrate with it. We can rehash those nostalgic moments. We can even satisfy some of our cravings with it while food is still medicine.
So that's interesting. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different ways that we can consider where food fits into our overall life. But, you know, before we go deeper into this concept of nutrition, help us kind of situate it. You know, where does food fit within the larger lifestyle medicine approach? Being that, you know, you are coming from the standpoint of being a lifestyle medicine educator and coach. So where does this fit?
I thought it was really, really important to share the philosophy of lifestyle medicine and the approach that I take to it so you can understand why this matters. We live our lives where we're seeking this balance. Now, what we need to understand that in being body, being a person that lives in a body, right? That's where we experience our five senses, where we carry out all of our actions. You know, we speak with our body, we carry out everything we want to do with our body. Taking care of that portion of ourselves is fundamental, but that's not the only portion of ourselves, right? We have a soul, which is our mind, our thoughts and beliefs, our emotions and our feelings, and our will. You know, we get to choose to do things, and all of that happens within the portion of us that's our soul. And then we have our spirits that is connected directly to God. And what we need to understand is that what we do with one part ultimately impacts the other part because we can't really separate those three parts of ourselves without consequence, right? For example, eating unhealthy foods will cause problems with your mood, right? It can drive certain cravings. And even something as simple as day-to-day stress can cause cravings where we reach for something fatty, salty, or sweet. I know that many persons would have experienced that after a stressful day. I just need to crunch. I just need something salty. And so we reach for those things, right? So there we are. Issues in our soul are going ahead and impacting what we're eating, right? So, for example, finances and relationships could be the source of that stress. And if we look at this particular graphic here, you can see that there are these parts of us, our finances, our work, our social life, our environment, our emotions, our intellect, all of these things interplay together to determine what we believe, how we act, and subsequently, those things determine how healthy we're going to be. So, this is the picture of whole person health, where we actually view ourselves as a body, soul, and a spirit, where one thing that we do impacts the other. And when we have this concept, I believe that it makes it easier to understand the impact of viewing your body as a temple and subsequently take the concept of food as medicine just a little bit more serious.
You know, I think one of the things that I've always found interesting, having kind of watched you know, prepare and get certified and learn and stretch and all of these things in this space, when it comes to the pillars, I always find it interesting that like nutrition is the first one on the list, in most iterations of it. But, you know, why do you think that is?
So first, we have to understand why does food matter so much? Why are the food choices that we make matter so much? So look at your health as a fortified wall. Like, let's use our imagination. Look at your health as a fortified wall. And in the presence of illness, the wall is damaged. But you need this wall of health for safety and protection. So the process and unhealthy foods, unhealthy lifestyle, it comes in like a wrecking ball. And there's no way to repair that wall with the wrecking ball still loaded and still swinging. And so the whole foods and healthy lifestyle are actually the bricks that repair your wall of health. And you could see that this image is showing the processed foods as this damaging structure that even as you're trying to build and repair, it's just, if we still are swinging this wrecking ball at it, we can't fix it. We can't fix it. And so when lifestyle is used as medicine and you eat to heal, you get the bricks to repair in the whole foods and you stop swinging that wrecking ball, you arrest the wrecking ball, and now you can finally rebuild and restore your health now that that constant insult is at bay.
I love your explanation of the wrecking ball and that whole concept. I think you visualize it really well for our listeners at home. But you know, when you say whole foods, because let's go a little bit deeper into this, you know, what exactly falls into the category of whole foods, especially for someone who may be just starting out on this journey of, you know, proper nutrition and eating to heal?
So being that I keep mentioning whole foods, whole foods, whole foods, I'm sure we are all aware of whole foods by now, but let me go a little deeper into that concept. So these are the foods that are close or exactly the way that God made them. These are our fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts, seeds, even our meats, unprocessed meats, clean meats, and eggs, right? These are minimally processed versions still count. Like, so for example, a frozen food is in the way that God made it, but it's still pretty healthy for you. And it's a good alternative if you can't get something fresh right now. Same thing with canned. We altered that a little bit. You don't just grow canned foods out of the earth, but this can still be beneficial for your health. Dried foods, that's a bit of processing, that's a bit of change. And we can still use those to gain health and lots of nutrients. So there's a spectrum, right? Whole foods are great because they are naturally packed with fiber and hydration and lots of protective compounds like phytonutrients that act as antioxidants and anti-inflammatory compounds that directly go in and give you what you need to heal. No, they're not necessary, like to survive on a day-to-day basis. Yes, you need your carbs, proteins, fats, vitamins, and minerals. But these foods here really enhance that picture. Okay. And it allows you to have the building blocks that you need to heal. And so, as you could see, this beautiful array of apples and carrots and papaya, kiwis, and all these foods, even chia seeds that are packed with nutrients that will literally go in and help your body heal from a plethora of chronic diseases.
Okay, so great breakdown on whole foods. But obviously, you mentioned this concept of processed and ultra processed foods. So, you know, what's the difference between, you know, these things and what should we be like? Okay, maybe you could have it minimally, and what should we be avoiding at all costs?
So, on the other side of things, what are processed foods? So, processed foods are foods that you want to limit, right? And these are foods that have been altered, usually for corporations to save some money. They enhance the shelf life, they enhance the flavor and craveability. So, in essence, they will add salts or sugars or oils to whole foods. For example, like I told you, the canned foods, that's going to be canned in a brine. Or if you bake bread, you got to add a little bit of fat to that. You got to add a little bit of salt, a little, you know. So we're processing. We're also using milled flour there. And so these foods, they have some processing to it. These are the foods that you don't want to overdo. They have a benefit, but you don't want to overdo these particular foods. And then we have the foods that if you're really on a healing journey and you're serious about locking in and you want your body to recover, these ultra processed foods must be avoided. And these are going to be, in essence, industrial formulations made from substances extracted from foods. And so these foods are going to have oils, fats, sugars, starches, but then also fat. They're also going to have additives such as emulsifiers and artificial colors and flavors. And these are things that our bodies view as primarily inflammatory. And that's why you want to really, really watch out for the ultra processed foods. So the whole foods, like we said, like I said just a bit earlier, minimally processed. So think about your fruits, your mangoes, guavas. We used to eat Callaloo in Trinidad, but your spinach and your greens, peas, your oats, not so bad there. Nuts and seeds, I'm sure some of us like to snack on those. Healthy, has their fiber, omega-3s, and your meats. And also, like I said, frozen counts. So these are your green light foods. You're good to eat these. These are going to help you heal as long as you balance your plate, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, we're also going forward now to talk about these processed ingredients, right? These are going to be in a lot of our foods as well. Flour, sugar, oil, canned food, bread with fewer ingredients. Like I said, helpful, but you got to check the labels because these can get a little sneaky, especially like you have one bread and the ingredients are like flour, maybe eggs, water, oil, salt. And then you have another bread and you're like, what are those compounds that I cannot pronounce? And you're trying to figure out how are these two products bred? Well, watch out because that's where you get in the yellow. Be cautious. Look at it first and make your determination. Do I want to eat this? Just because it says bread doesn't mean that it is healthy. Not all of them are created equal. So we got to be like little detectives here. And then you have your ultra processed foods. So that's your sugar sweetened beverages, right? And your chips, your pastries, like we said, processed meats. People don't really think about this all the time, but your bacon and your deli meats, not so good, guys. Not so good. And a lot of times when we're eating healthier, we might say, hey, I'm just going to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast. And then for lunch, I'm going to have a turkey deli sandwich, right? I'm going to put lettuce and tomatoes, onions on it. And this should be fine. But in actuality, let's say you get that with a side of chips, you have a Sprite or a Coke, you've consumed tons of ultra processed foods just, and you think you're being healthy. You didn't go to Wendy's, you didn't go to Bamboo today. You're like, this is a win for me. I cooked breakfast at home. I got this from my local deli. I'm so good. But in actuality, you would have consumed tons of refined starches, high salt, high sugar content, and potentially, depending on the source of where the deli is getting their goods, tons of additives. So be careful, careful with those ultra processed foods and snacks when you're eating to heal.
So when someone turns over a package, then what are the biggest warning signs that they should watch out for, to know that they're avoiding ultra processed foods?
The artificial and synthetic ingredients, guys, they are taking us out. They've been taking us out, and the low fiber, the low micronutrients, the high calories per bite. This is what we don't really want. I remember looking at my daughter. She doesn't do very well with dairy. She has like a lot of mucus that builds up. And so sometimes when she wants a little treat, we'll get this non-dairy Dilly bar from Dairy Queen for her because it's like, oh, she's a kid. She wants ice cream. Let's get her something. And one day he just decided, hey, we're going to just look at the ingredients, thinking, well, this must be some coconut milk, some sugar, maybe some oat milk, a little oil. But the list, it was basically just gum stabilizers, oil with a touch of coconut cream and some sugar that was frozen. And I'm like, oh boy, this can't even be considered vegan ice cream at this point. And that's what happens. We don't really realize it. We just assume that people are going to be honest and give us food, right? But so many chemicals, gum, stabilizers. I'm like, oh, my baby, we're going to have to find you something else, And sometimes I'd even resort to just making the ice cream for her because it's like what she's getting, right? You know what your kids are, you know what you're getting. They are bioengineering these foods for like maximum craveability. I don't know if you guys remember, you probably do the Pringles slogan, the once you pop, you can't stop. I don't know if you guys have ever popped it and was unable to stop. Your mouth is like burning and you can't stop chewing until this can is complete. They engineer it that way. They are proud to say once you pop, you can't stop. They need you to keep coming back. But those compounds that they put in it to maximize that craveability and keep you coming back, they kill us slowly but surely by putting our bodies in a state of chronic inflammation. And when we get into our disease state, we're taking our medications and we can't, some of us can't even get under control. And these could be a part of the problem. So the low fiber, as well as I previously stated, is going to really, really, really cause problems with the gut that we'll talk about a little bit later, that can also lead to even more inflammation. And the foods, they even impact your mood, like directly impact your mood. And we'll talk about how that happens as well. And so this is why when you see these laundry lists of ingredients, if you are healing, just put it down. Just move on. Go to the section of the grocery store where everything is laid out and not in packages and get your food. So what are some of the things to just casually look out for when you're reading your labels? The processed meats, these are going to be the ones that have the sodium nitrates and the nitrates. You're going to see artificial colors, emulsifiers, thickeners, gums, and then random broad terms like flavor, color. They don't specify. That means we don't know. Okay. They've just put a list of most likely synthetic things in there. And so this is what I want to drive home. Read your labels, check, and see, is this food? If it's not food, you're on a healing journey, trying to get your blood pressure under control, trying to get your blood sugar under control, trying to lower your risk for cancer or return of cancer. If you've struggled with that before, take your time to see if these things are in your food, okay? Be very, very mindful. Look for those labels that have just a few ingredients to one ingredient, and you should be good, as well as keeping it organic, okay?
So I know sometimes with conversations like these, people can get overwhelmed, right? You're hearing a lot of different things at once. If you could distill this down to say, like, okay, what are the core principles? What are the most important things that people need to remember when they're trying to eat to heal?
So, what are the core principles, right? So, whole foods is the focus. Remember that fresh, minimally processed food most of the time, eating in an anti-inflammatory pattern, okay? Vegetables, fruits, legumes, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices with our healthy fats, okay? Gut health. Remember your gut health. Eat your fiber, feed your gut microbiome with plants. You can also take in fermented foods. This would be foods like a little di different from pickling. So fermented foods, these will be like your kimchi, your yogurt, your kombucha, okay, that will have those natural cultures that are helpful for the gut microbiome. Also your blood sugar. We want to keep our blood sugar stable. So this means that we're going to have high quality carbs. We're going to take in our fiber and we're going to move around to avoid big spikes and crashes of our sugar. We're going to have nutrient dense foods. I like to call this Nutramaxing, where we choose foods that have really high quality. And so this means that you get all of your nutrients, but not all of the other bad stuff. Okay.
Okay, so that I mean that's fair enough, but now how do you or what would you want someone to do if you're saying, okay, this is how you would go about eating to heal?
Eating anti-inflammatory in a nutshell, eat the rainbow. You're going to get different health benefits from every color, different healing compounds from every color. And so, eating the rainbow, having these colorful, fresh plates, you know you're on point. Okay. So, as we said, remember these colors we have in our reds, your lycopenes, and these ones really, really support persons with cardiovascular disease of all types. Get these colors in, guys. You have your oranges and yellows, that's your beta carotenes and flavanols. It's supporting your immune system, even helps with your skin and eye health. So Eat your mangoes, eat your pumpkins, your carrots, your sweet potatoes. Okay. Also, your green foods, lots of healing compounds in the green foods. Okay. Anti-inflammatory powerhouses and lowers your risk of cancer as well. So, this one's with lutein and sulforaphanes. This will be your broccoli and your okra and herbs. So, get those in. Have your fresh salads. For some people, they like to take their greens and green juices, mix it up, make sure that the juices are primarily vegetables, at least 75% vegetable to 25% fruit if you're healing. Okay, so remember that as well. And your blues and purples, love this day, berries and purple cabbages and grapes. And these ones are going to directly improve your heart health and say your blood pressure as well. And support your memory and cognition. And oh, the greens are also pretty good for blood pressure. And then we have our whites, your garlic, your onions, and cauliflower, gonna support gut health and boost your immunity. They have your allicin. So as you could see, that eating the rainbow gives you maximum bricks, and arresting the processed foods stops you from damaging that wall of your health. And so the combination of those things, as well as remembering, hey, the six pillars are going to impact me, the other five pillars, you're going to have this lifestyle at this point where you're eating with intention and you have everything you need to repair your body that's going through a continuous insult, and you're going to get to arrest the insult while building your wall back. So this is the picture that I want you guys to keep remembering as we stack our knowledge here.
Okay, that's really helpful. I want to circle back a little bit because you mentioned earlier the importance of gut health. Can you expand on that a little bit as to why it's such a big deal in this conversation?
So your gut health, really, really important in this whole idea of eating to heal. Okay, we need our gut barrier to be intact and functional in order for us to maintain that state of healing and keep that wall nice and strong. That gut barrier is going to protect immunity and protect us against chronic inflammation. Now, as I'm stating, you eat your fiber, but if you don't eat fiber, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you just start off eating the recommended amounts of fiber and half of the plate, just fibrous vegetables, right away, you're gonna feel it. It's gonna be a little painful for you. So start slow. Start slow. Add it bit by bit. Make it a goal, okay? If you're not used to high fiber, and be sure to hydrate as well. That's not eating, that's drinking, but it's definitely a part of it. Get in your water. Okay. So to get your fiber in, remember that legumes are pretty good. Okay. Sweet potato, vegetables, and fruits, lots of nice ways to get your fiber in. Just make sure that you start slow, especially when it comes to the legumes. And you can research the methods of preparing your legumes, like soaking them, to make it just a little bit easier to digest when you start to go on that journey. So, a healthy gut, what is that like? That is a gut where your microbes are in balance. You have a good mucus lining down there in your intestines that's holding all of your good bacteria in place. And these bacteria aren't just chilling out there, okay? They are actively helping us by giving us vitamins and minerals like B12 and folate. They help us create energy, blood cell formation, help us with blood clotting and even nerve function, help us with our mood. So when your gut is in dysbiosis, or you have the wrong organisms there, none of the right microorganisms there, you are going to feel it. All right. Your mood is going to be bad. You'll be sluggish. You're going to have digestive issues. Probably over time, you're going to develop certain chronic diseases. Some people have skin rashes and eczema, all these things, just because Your gut bacteria is off. It's wrong. Okay. And so we have to remember to keep it happy, like the little smiley faces here on our guts with our beans and our vegetables and our whole grains. And understand that the processed foods, they're going to cause a sad and weakened gut lining. And what happens when that gut lining gets too weak? What ends up going on is we get something called leaky gut. Okay. And what happens in that leaky gut is the literal cells, like you see in this diagram, they get these gaps between them. And things that are actually the bacteria, germs that was just in your world, in your food, they end up out of your digestive system and leaking into your bloodstream, into your body. And we don't want this. And that causes a, your body gets angry and you have autoimmune activity. And we could see that this is a cause, one of the causes of, for some people, multiple sclerosis and rheumatoid arthritis, these inflammatory conditions, okay, including, like I said, skin conditions. And not only that, but it could be a source of chronic inflammation in our blood vessels, driving cardiovascular disease and priming our blood vessels, our heart, all of that for being able to have these plaques deposited that cause the strokes and the heart attacks. And damage from high sugar, being susceptible to damages from high sugar and things like that, damaging organ systems, leading to diabetes. So we could see, look, we have diabetes, we have damaged joints, and you feel this when your gut is out of order, okay? Outside of that, you literally are gonna have gut symptoms. So you're not gonna digest your food well, run into the bathroom, feeling nauseous with meals. Like I'm sure that some of us have some of these problems, and you could see yourself in this picture already. But if you do, then remember that this pattern of eating can fix it.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Have you been searching for healing, but still feeling stuck? Maybe it's stress, fatigue, long COVID symptoms, fibroids, high blood pressure, or perhaps a condition no one can fully explain. At Wellspring Lifestyle Group, we believe healing is body, soul, and spirit, with Christ at the center and practical evidence-based steps you can actually follow. Our approach is grounded in faith, backed by science, and fueled by testimony. Start your journey to freedom today with the free Thrive 360 Holistic Wellness Checkup at wellspringlifestylegroup.com. In minutes, you'll get a head start on your journey. Wellspring Lifestyle Group, freedom and transformation through whole person health.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
Now, I'm going to jump in for you and say that loving your gut is not, you know, Oreos and ice cream, just for everybody's clarity at home. But it does bring up another question, you know, sugar. People start talking about eating healthy and the carbohydrates conversation just becomes this thing that blows up. But, you know, how should we look at sugar in this concept of eating to heal?
So how do we eat? We talked about eating in an anti-inflammatory pattern that promotes gut health, but this is another big one that can cause chronic inflammation. And that is when we have unbalanced blood sugar levels, guys. So unbalanced or unstable blood sugar can cause oxidative stress, that's your inflammation in those conditions, gives you this chronic inflammatory pattern and blood vessel injury that primes the whole cardiovascular system for diseases on diseases, depending on where this is turning up in your body. And so how do we keep our blood sugars relatively stable in this process? Because let's be real, natural foods have sugar, okay? Fruits have sugar. Potatoes, rice, it has sugar, beans. And so I want us to be able to not just be totally fearful of carbs. Sometimes people get completely scared. They're like, I will never eat another carbohydrate again. But there is important compounds in the carbs that if you're healing, you might want to eat and consume. right? And so let's choose good options, right? Intact whole grains in the right portions, brown rice, for starchy vegetables, colored ones like sweet potatoes and pumpkins, and taking the whole fruit, not necessarily loading up on too much fruit juice, right? But that just will, that could have the potential to spike your blood sugar. Now, fruit juice doesn't take out all the fiber. Like if you run the fruits or vegetables through your juicer, all of the fiber is not going to be just evaporated, okay? You're going to have your soluble fibers that are still there, but because some of the fiber has been taken out, be careful. For those who are watching the sugar, the fruit juices can spike your sugar. And that's why we're talking about when you make your juices and your smoothies to make sure that they're vegetable forward. Okay. And so these are ways that we can make good choices with our whole grains, making sure that they're paired with our proteins, our healthy fats, and making sure that they still have the fiber in them, because that will minimize the spikes of the blood sugar as you eat.
Okay, so this is really helpful so far. But let's take it a step further. You know, for someone who may be listening to this episode, what is the simplest visual you can give them for building a healthy plate?
So when you look at your plate, we're trying to get like the maximum nutrition or consuming nutrient dense foods without getting too much or overdoing it on the calories and sugars and all of those bad additives that's gonna tear down this wall that we are actively trying to build up, right? And so you can ask yourself as you are making your plate, like, do I have color and do I have fiber on this plate? Does this plate have color? Is this like a brown plate? Because just like a plain brown plate is probably not doing anything for you. It's probably calorie dense and nutrient poor. And so you're gonna ask yourself, like, do I have fiber on here? Okay. And so you check that. Next, protein. Do I have a high quality protein? A protein that's not giving me too much fat, too much sugar, too much salt or additives. So that lands you around the arena of having proteins like if you're into soy products, tofu, legumes. You could do chickpeas and cannellini. Some of those are my favorites. Eggs. Watch out for the eggs. If for some persons they too many eggs in a week can cause their cholesterol to go up, but you know, you're keeping in contact with your doctor, you're watching how these foods are impacting your body. Fish, turkey, chicken, lean meats, lean beef. These foods are great. They're going to have impact, healthy impact to your body. They're whole foods once they're unaltered. And you want to make sure that you have that lean protein on your plate that's high quality without too much other things going on. And then your good fats, right? Is an unsaturated fat on my plate, meaning olive oil that I didn't necessarily expose to the highest heat, avocado oil or nuts and seeds. And if your plate has these things on it in the right portions, you're probably heading in the right direction with nutrient dense foods, and you're on your way to Nutramaxing. Okay, so let's take a look at this plate here. You see half that plate. Half that plate has non-starchy vegetables in some nice colors. And this is what each plate is going to look like. Okay. And you have a quarter of your plate with a whole grain of good quality. And then you have another quarter of your plate with your high quality proteins. You see this one, it has the chicken and legumes that made up a quarter. And then you had your whole grains looking like brown rice here, makes up your other quarter. And then you have that whole half with your veggies. All right. And so this is just a quick check. Does my plate look like this? They have all the things on it in the right portions. You eat like that consistently and you're going to feel a difference in your body. Guaranteed.
Well, I think it's a good point now too, to kind of stop and give people a little bit of data, because, you know, you hear like, oh, eating to heal, blah, 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 you know, food is medicine. But, you know, people want to hear the data that backs it up. So what data do you have that can kind of, you know, show us and prove that this is factual?
Food is medicine. Does it actually work? There are a lot of patterns of eating that fits this criteria. For lifestyle medicine, we recommend whole food, plant predominant diet. So meaning that you get most of your protein from plant proteins, because it maximizes the amount of those phytonutrients that you could get in when you're trying to prevent, treat, or reverse a chronic disease. And so that's a good eating pattern that we recommend. And then there are some diets like the DASH diet. I don't know if you guys remember that one that was always recommended for high blood pressure, that has the seasonings. Okay, so the DASH style diet fits into this whole food plant predominant type of eating pattern. And so that's one you could look up. And people like this had a 31% lower risk of death than when diagnosed with hypertension. And so you're actually really, really, really improving your health span, your quality of life, and sometimes even your actual adding years to your life and life to your years when you decide, hey, I'm going to mindfully eat in these types of eating patterns. Now, another type that's great that a lot of people might have heard about is the Mediterranean diet. Focuses on plant predominance, lean proteins, healthy fats, getting lots of fiber. And Mediterranean diet is great, especially for type 2 diabetics. And so this might be an eating plan that you want to think about switching to, okay? Obviously, you can go whole food plant-based, which means you don't do any meat products. And that's been proven to heal as well, okay? And so there's a lot of evidence that exists for whole food plant predominant eating patterns that serve as medicine for various documented conditions. So this is something that's proven. And of course, there has to be adjustments made for persons that have different disorders or that are on different types of medication, which is where when you're going into your therapeutic meals, especially if you're on multiple medications, you know, you can speak with a nutritionist and help tailor exactly what each plates are going to look like for you. You know, certain medications have certain foods that you may want to avoid. But all in all, your doctors and your nutritionists are going to be great with these types of eating plans for most people. Okay?
Okay, that's very helpful. Now, again, you know, we like to take it into the practical tip space on this show. So if somebody's now standing in a grocery store trying to make better choices, what are some things that they should be paying close attention to?
First, check your labels. Short ingredient lists, often better. Watch out for syrups and malts and nectars. Watch out for sodium in packaged foods because it adds up fast. It's kind of difficult to overdo your sodium limit if you don't eat processed foods. So meaning that you'll be able to season your food to taste and not eat bland, bad tasting food if you actually just didn't do the foods that are in the prepackaged, And then of course the processed meats, we talked about that, the deli meat, the bacon, the sausage, we talked about that. You can actually make your own sausages if you are completely plant-based. You can make your vegan sausages, freeze them, warm them up at breakfast time, or you can do, I like the little turkey sausages where you can take your ground turkey and season it up with some of the seasonings that are used in sausages. You could put in paprika and sage, a little bit of nutritional yeasts and increase the umami. And there are a lot of ways to get what you're looking for without having like the flavor and good texture that you're looking for without necessarily having to consume bacon and sausage and deli meat on a lot of days. Okay, so think about that. Read your labels, watch out for the processed stuff.
Okay, and so now what about building a grocery list?
Now that we're going on this other path, we have to build a grocery list. Okay, so when we're going into the food store in that aisle where everything's open and not in packages, we're gonna spend a lot of time in this aisle getting organic produce. Okay, so this is our greens and our spinach and our cabbage. Build up, make sure you have your vegetables, make sure you have your peppers and onions and tomatoes on your grocery list. I know my mom don't play about getting her vegetables and fruits up on her grocery list, of all the colors. And my daughter always loves that about eating out of Nana's fridge. But there's going to be lots of citrus fruits, mangoes, of course, portion aware, especially if you're battling blood sugar issues. Fiber, go for those whole grains, go for those colorful vegetables in the starchy variety. When you consume those, your lean proteins, get your peas, your beans, fish. Like I said, for the beans and peas, I really like chickpeas and cannellini beans because I can crisp them up and make them a texture that I love because I'm one of those people that crave those crispy foods. I crave those crispy foods when I get stressed too. And so crispy chickpeas seasoned up instead of chips has saved me quite a bit on my journey. And so you start to think about swaps you can make and building up your grocery list to reflect how you want to eat with the colors, the good sources of protein, fiber, carbs, and fats. And when you are going for flavor, good place to stop here, take a pause and talk about flavor. Look at your seasoning list because all of these seasonings are not created equal. So when you're reaching for your spices, check to see if they have too many ingredients as well. All right. What I started doing when I was on my early stages of my journey is getting the spices that just had the one thing in it, just the spice, until I was able to familiarize. Like, so if it's thyme, it's just thyme. Even an Italian seasoning, it's just the specific herbs that are dried up and placed in it. Because some of these seasonings, they will hide everything in there, sugar and all sorts of additives and chemicals, and you don't even you're trying to eat healthy and then you're shaking this on every day. So bear in mind, check your seasonings as well. And for flavor, rely on your garlic and your thyme and your basil, your ginger, your turmeric. And we know ginger and turmeric are great anti-inflammatory compounds that you can take in on a daily basis to help you fight that chronic inflammation that we talked about drives disease. Okay.
I know you mentioned this before, and I think this is something that, it's a good time to kind of dive even deeper into it. But like, what is the concept of mindful eating? And because, sometimes people hear me like, so you want me to just sit down and think about my food? Like, what does this look like?
Mindful eating, right? What does that mean? Being mindful when you eat. When you're eating mindfully, you're eating with a you're present with your dish. So what does that mean? You slow down. You put your fork down between your bites. You chew up your food all the way. Why does this matter? You're actually going to allow your brain to catch up and say, "I'm not really hungry anymore. I can stop eating." If we eat too fast, our brain doesn't register that our stomach has stretched to the point of fullness, or we've had enough nutrient signals to say that, hey, we're full, and you will overeat. And so, if you just slow down, your body will have a chance to catch up and say, hey, slow down, we're full. We can ask our body, like, when I'm craving something in particular, what am I? Am I actually hungry? Or am I tired? Am I stressed? Or am I just thirsty? And so sometimes we have this urge to put something in our mouth and we think that it always is food. But sometimes you're a little stressed and you just ate. And you want that crunchy, that salty, that fatty, that sweet. But if you realize that you're stressed, you can come up with a game plan for stress instead of saying that when I'm stressed, I'm going to eat this. Okay? And so this is really important when you think about the process of mindful eating, all right? And calm meals. Now, in reality, is it that you can have every meal where you're not in the car, where there's nothing else on, where no one's distracting you, so that your body can get all the signals that it needs to say, I'm full, stop eating, enjoy your food, break it down into smallest pieces. Like, it's not going to happen every time. But if you have this in mind, be mindful when you eat, you're going to try to do it most of the time, or at least whenever you can. And this is going to significantly improve your relationship with food, right? So let's try to eat at times where we don't necessarily have to rush what we're doing. Let's choose those times. Let's chew up our food. Let's minimize the distraction and be present with our meals. Think about what it's going to do for our body. Think about what it's going to do for our health, how it's going to give us energy. And this is going to help us stay on track.
Okay, so everybody knows that it's a lot easier to do this when you are home, right? Like, but what happens when you get caught up in the busyness of life and you have to go to work every day and all of these things? How do you then set yourself up for, or like even when you're traveling or you're eating out, like how do you make this plan and these concepts make sense in everyday life?
So another tip is when you're taking your healthy plan for real life. So basically, make a plan for taking healthy eating on the road. Eating on the road doesn't have to mean getting something that's going to harm you. You're going to have days where you get your junk food, but make good choices when you go. If you have to go, if you have to travel, make a plan. So for example, if it's a busy day, right? If it's a busy day, what I need you to do is decide what is my plan on days when I'm not cooking? Because let's be realistic, some of us are not gonna stand up in front of the stove every single day. And some of us hate eating the same food, like meal prepping for 5 days, eating the same thing for 5 days straight. Some of us hate that idea. And so decide what restaurant am I going to go to on my healthy eating journey, and what am I going to order from there when I go that has all of these, that fits all of the rules that we talked about? Okay. Pick the places that you go and stick to it. When you're sick, when you're lacking energy, when you're short on time, or if you get like me and you get sick, like of eating the same thing over and over again. Remember, I'm one of those persons that food is like a creative space for me. So the idea of eating the same thing every single day will just drive me nuts. You can ingredient prep. So have a day where you chop up your onions and your garlic and you get your pre-washed greens. And so it's super easy to build up your plate. It only takes 10 minutes to air fry some chickpeas and throw it on your salad with some nuts and seeds. And you can have your roasted vegetables of your choice and basically build up a nice plate for yourself without having to eat the same thing. You could turn it into a wrap another day. You can use your chicken that you ate with your roasted vegetables and quinoa, and you can tear up the rest of that chicken and put it in a soup the next day. So understand yourself and your relationship with food and your time constraints and your energy levels. And use all of those things to make the choices while sticking to the script, sticking to the guideline. Okay. So when you're eating out, look for grilled foods because the fried foods are going to be loaded up with a lot of compounds that are pro-inflammatory. Okay. So that crispy coating, not really for free, but try to stick with grilled, steamed, your vegetables as a side, legumes. Some people load you up with sweet, fatty sauces. So Excuse me, can I get my sauce on the side? Or can I swap my fries for a salad? Or can you do extra veggies? Watch out for the sugary drinks as well. It's probably easier to really eliminate the sugar sweetened beverages. You can use carbonated water as an alternative to, if you like that fizzy feeling, stevia. Some people like that as well. If you need to feel that sweet taste, but sticks, try and stay away from the sugar sweetened beverages. Now, a good source of sweetening is dates. Dates are great. So for your tea and coffee, you might want to get the date paste, or I like to make a date paste and use that because it still has the fiber in it and it doesn't cause the high blood sugar spikes, but you get a little sweet caramel taste up in the meal. And so it's a good way to have a little sweet and be mindful of our health as well. And so what I like to do, say I want to get matcha from Starbucks, right? I had a little date syrup in my purse. Now I can probably take it a lot of times without sugar, a sweetener of any kind, but I would have my date syrup in my purse and like, no sugar, please. And add a little bit of my date syrup to it that I had in my purse, even though I still have the experience of going out and chilling out in Starbucks with everybody else and having a nice drink that feels festive to me. And so there are ways to solve these problems that we have, okay? And if you're a person and you like treats, you can put a little treat item on your plate. So maybe a little bit of cheese, or you have just like two or three fries, one tiny wing. Like, don't make the whole plate this thing. Just a little, just you can, especially when you're transitioning, just the taste and put it to the side. Now, strict is better when you're serious about your game plan. But if you want it to be sustainable, you don't want to feel like you're going crazy, remember that balance, okay?
Awesome. I mean, balance is, I guess, it's always a good thing to come back to, right? Go back to the concept of everything in moderation. So the moderation part being the important part. But I know you've talked about this before, the importance of fasting as a part of this, walking in a healthy, on a godly nutrition path. So where does fasting fit into this overall idea of eating to heal?
Fasting. Okay, so for eating to heal, we can't not talk about this particular point. Now, fasting is one of those super healing practices. Can everybody do full fast in their with their medical conditions? Not everybody, and some people can do it, but with medical supervision. But the point is that there are a lot of different types and ways that we can experience the benefits of fasting in our healing journey, because sometimes we just have to put the plate down. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes about the benefits of fasting when you're developing an eating strategy to heal. What certain types of fasting does is it puts your body in a state called autophagy. And what that means is that auto meaning self and phagy meaning eat. And what happens in fasting, especially if you do, say, a water fast on your about your third day, for most people, your body will go around and your immune system will eat up all of your dead, a lot of your dead and diseased cells. This is why you guys have heard stories that, I had cancer and the Lord asked me to go on a fast. And I went on this fast. For whatever length of days that they were asked to do it. And then they came out and their doctor's reports were clean. And this is not a mystical thing. This is literally their bodies have gone in and cleaned it up. Okay? Their bodies have cleaned up what was going on.
As always, such an amazing conversation with you and talking through, this concept of eating to heal. So, as always, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come with us on the show, walk our listeners through this journey about eating to heal. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And as always, let the people know, you know, how they can get in contact with you if they were interested in finding more about these concepts, the work that you do, you know, if they're interested in, you know, connecting with you further, how can they do that?
Well, if you're interested in lifestyle medicine coaching, learning more about whole person health, you can go ahead and visit www.wellspringlifestylegroup.com.
That was Dr. Paige Burrows on Eating to Heal, a powerful reminder that the choices we make every day can either move us toward greater inflammation and breakdown or toward nourishment, repair, and restoration. If this conversation encouraged you, challenged you, or gave you a new way to think about food and healing, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs it. And thank you to all of you for listening to Vital Voices. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
Vital Voices is a production of Tag Studios and is proudly brought to you each week by our sponsor, Wellspring Lifestyle Group, where you can find freedom and transformation through whole person health.